Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Rob McKeefrey, and this is episode number 46. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field each week to talk a little shop about the strength and conditioning profession. If you're not already done so, please make sure you join my mailing list at robmckeefrey.com, where you'll get weekly emails each week letting you know about the latest guest as well as anything else that I have going on. Or you can subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube to get each episode each week. On the website, additionally, there's all the show notes from each episode, so make sure you check there at robmckeefrey.com for all the links and anything that we mention in each episode. This week, I'm very excited to have Mark Watts with us. Mark Watts is the Director of Education for Elite FTS. He's a former head strength coach at Denison University, a competitive powerlifter, and probably most impressive is that he is a former Marine as well. So really excited to have him on the show. We talk a little bit about his experience, how he's gotten to where he is currently at Elite FTS, his experience at Denison, where he ran a great internship program. That's how I additionally met him or first met him. We talked quite a bit of shop about that. And just an all-around great guy, one of the good ones in the profession, and doing some really neat things as the education director there at Elite. I know you're going to enjoy this episode, but before we get going, I want to make sure that we recognize our sponsors, Elite Form and Ignition APG. This week, we're going to highlight Elite Form. Elite Form is a sports science company that's doing some phenomenal things, producing some great products to help track workouts. And so they get their power tracker, where it's actually a video camera system that's measuring velocity and power output. They have their strength planner and then their paperless system, where basically you're able to create workouts and then push it to an app so that your athletes either in the weight room with an iPad or something, some sort of tablet where you can get the workouts to them, or obviously when you're dealing with athletes from afar. So I'll show you just how easy the strength planner program is to use. I've logged into my account. What you'll first notice on the left-hand side here is a navigator. In the navigator, we have workouts, athletes, and reports. And I can very easily add a workout or edit a workout. And that's what I'm gonna show you from here, just to make time a little bit easier here. I've pulled up my developmental program. This is just a 20-week program that I'm building out right now for our incoming freshmen. And so I got cycle one, 4 weeks. I got cycle two. And I'm able to break down each week into days and then obviously the lifts. So when you get into just a lift situation here, you've got some fields that you're able to add in the different exercises, set reps, all those types of things. And it's very simple to build out then. So if I wanted to change power clean to, say, bench press for whatever reason, it's that simple. If I wanted to turn around and add an exercise, I would just hit the plus and add an exercise that I didn't have in my library. I can set reps whatever I want it to be. Let's say I want to go 50%, 55%, 60%, 65%, and 70%. On my load, based off my athletes, I got a whole field where I can put in all their data, their testing data each time. I can put in any directions that I would want. I could say superset with, Superman jacks or something. And then I simply just close this out and I would go to strength cards here to generate cards. So I could add as many athletes in as I want. I simply just assign an athlete. I can do the entire team. I can go down and find whoever. So let's say I'll go with Fred, one of my assistants here. I add him to the workout. And let's just say I just want to print Fred's card. So I'll check him, hit print. I can easily do the entire team. I want to do all the days for that week. I want to get it on either a four-day, a single-day, or a week card. So let's just keep it a four-day card. And I simply hit print. And what will happen is it will generate a workout card, PDF of a workout card. And that could be, again, as many as we've selected. And without any kind of Excel, you're going in and setting up cells and all those types of things, it automatically generates a workout card with numbers for the workout. And that can easily be pushed if you have this the power tracker to a rack tablet. It can you can produce PDFs like this to put in the manuals or to simply use in your workouts. Or you can use the paperless system where you're pushing it to an app on your phone or something along those lines. So depending on the situation that you're in, if you have athletes that go home for the summer, this is a great solution. So if you'd like to try the Strength Planner out, skipping the guys at Elite Form or giving a free 30-day trial and to anybody that wants it, simply email igct@eliteform.com. And they'll take you through that entire process. And it's very intuitive, very easy to use. And I've been pretty impressed with it. Lastly, if you enjoy these podcasts, you will really enjoy strengthondemand.com. Strength-ondemand.com is an online archive of strength and conditioning presentations that I've myself and Rob Taylor created. And we really created it because it was a product that we wanted to simply use. And what's great about it is you can continue to sharpen the sword. You can continue to learn on your time, anywhere you can have access to an internet connection. So if you are interested in that, check out strength-ondemand.com. Sit back and enjoy this episode. I'll see you on the flip side. All right, guys, sitting here with Mark Watts. He's the education director with Elite Fitness and just a guy that's putting out a lot of great information lately, and a guy that I've gotten a chance to know over the years, and real excited to have you on the show, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Well, it's an honor, Coach. I appreciate it.
Hey, Mark, for the guys that don't know you as well, you know, give us a little bit about your background, kind of how you got into strength and conditioning, and then where you're currently at.
Well, my journey was a little bit different than a lot of people. I grew up in Pittsburgh. I played in inner city high school, played football there. And I wasn't probably the most stellar student. So my choices were running pretty thin. So I ended up enlisting in the United States Marine Corps, was with 3rd Battalion, 8th Marines down at Camp Lejeune. Was there, and one thing I realized is I wanted to play college football. It was an honor to serve my country, but once you're in that situation, you understand, you get a better perspective of what you want to do with your life and what kind of impact you want to make. So my goal once I got out, was to go to college and play college football. I missed it that much. So I ended up, got out of the Marine Corps, had to go to community college, just to get some grades enough to get in, but went to Clarion University, walked on there, that's really where it started. And I think I got a passion for right around that time when I was playing. I started to, you know, I was a 5'4", 240-pound walk-on nose guard that didn't play very much, but I had a passion for it. I loved every minute of it, I tried to embrace the process before I even knew what that really meant. And that got me into student coaching. So I knew I couldn't play. At that time, I was getting to be 24 years old. So it was kind of it was tough to physically to withstand that what I was doing. But I got into powerlifting. At that time, I was really influenced by Louis Simmons, as most of us were, and reading all Dave Tate's stuff on, you know, before it was even Elite FTS, deepsquatter.com. And I got into that. I had a passion for it, and I love the strength part of it as well and the performance. But I coached G8, got my master's in elementary education, and then was a football coach, and that was really my segue. You know, people ask about how you get into it, and that was my segue, because there's a lot of small schools that, you know, they don't really have the money, the budget to have a full-time strength and conditioning coach. So who ends up doing it? You know, one of the assistant coaches. So I ended up getting into that, and I was in a situation where I was a football and strength coach. I went to Allegheny College, coached there for a year, and then went to Denison University. And during that time, I was fortunate enough that my D-line coach, Mike Murphy, who's a head lacrosse coach at Colgate now, when I was at Denison, he ended up getting an assistant job at West Point, at Army. And Scott Swanson got me on, and it was and if anybody has a chance to go to West Point and see that and what they have going on, it was one of those things that really was a mission above and beyond just coaching athletes and weightlifting. We really had an idea of where we were at and what the overall mission was. But I had some family issues, so we end up my wife and I end up coming back to Ohio, went back to Denison. But in the meantime, before I went to Army, I ended up interning at Tulsa. When I came back from Army, I interned at Ohio State. Of course, people were, why you have a full-time job? Why are you going to go ahead and work for free? And I was in a situation where I was on a 10-month contract. I was able to do that.
Right.
But that was the thing. I think I realized that if I had any shot of continuing that career, that's what I needed to do. So, and really, I was at Denison for about 10 years, and I was doing strength and conditioning for all 23 sports, and I was still the defensive line special teams coordinator, and also I did travel. I was basically football operations, so recruiting and everything else, and I was teaching classes. So it was the epitome of being stretched a little too thin, and it was a little disappointing because it's great when you get into all that stuff. But when you know in your heart that you're not doing the best job you possibly can at each one of those,
right,
that's where it really got into the way. And really, at some point, I knew that because I have two young children, I knew that I had to try to get to a position where I can spend a little more time with them. And I sent Dave Tate an email, and I just basically said, I'm going to miss every shot I don't take, was the title of the it was a subject line. And I gave him a proposal. I said, I don't know if this is something that you would look forward to, that you need that, or if I'm even the best person for the job. But over a course of a few months, we had several meetings as far as how this position would happen. And it really is the best of both worlds. I'm really able to stay involved in the profession and at the same time, work for a company that has a mission that really, live, learn, pass on is not just the motto. That's just something we do. And one of the most rewarding things I've been able to take over, not just, interviews and articles, but in being involved a little bit in sales, but really our Make-A-Wish manual, our Learn to Train, our Programs at Work manual, and our Learn to Train seminars, where all those proceeds go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And it's staggering with the company our size, the amount of money that we've been able to raise for that. And to be a part of that, it's been really rewarding. So, like I said, I miss mentoring young people, but at the same time, this is, I couldn't have dreamed of a better job to have. I'm really fortunate in that sense.
No doubt. I know, we've all benefited from a lot of the material that you've been putting out right now. And so I think it was a stellar hire by Elite FTS's part, and really appreciate your efforts in helping to continue to spread, good messages out there. I think you answered kind of why you took the job. But, one of the things that has been eye-opening to me, and we've talked about quite a bit, on the show here, is getting outside of the four walls of the weight room, and to learn and to really grow as a strength coach, And I know when I made that switch to kind of really, expand myself outside of just reading, journals and strength and conditioning books and things on those lines, to leadership and business and all these types of things, I really grew and became a much better strength coach. What are some of the things that you've learned, by working at Elite FTS that have made you a better strength coach?
Well, that's the thing. It's, because when you're coaching, you never really have the time to do those things that you're talking about. You never really have, because, I'm talking to a bunch of coaches, and, sometimes young coaches that are in the field, and they're writing all these things, and they're posting all these, their blogs, and they have their own methods and all these things, and they're doing all these things, but the coaches that are in the weight room, in the trenches, and work in those long 12-14 hour days, don't really have the time to write about it or to make videos that for everybody to benefit from. They don't really have the time to do it because they're coaching.
Right.
So it was just interesting, because that's really the unique part of my job, is that I do have the time now. I do have the time to try to get that information, try to translate that, try to get into a format where people can understand. And the fortunate thing is, because the biggest thing learning now is really, there was so much I was so naive about, the business aspect of it, the web aspect of it, and really the marketing and the image. And one thing that, it's funny, because when you're in the next office away from Dave Tate, there's always something that I hope people can work for somebody that will have the balance. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to find someone that won't micromanage you, but at the same time be able to give you the guidance you need to make your mistakes and be able to learn from them yourself. And I think it's a unique situation working for Dave Tate. I was able to, I'm fortunate to work for a guy like Sean Griswold at Arizona State and Scott Swanson or Army. That, you know, it's really a rare type of coach that can be able to do that. And the biggest thing that I've learned is that, you know, people, what the characteristics of successful people, and it's no different from coaching. And the parallels from coaching to the business world, and I know you know this, Coach, it's unbelievable how many parallels there are where you can take so many things from both. Because no matter what, whether it's coaching sets and reps or whether it's business, it's still about people, and it's still about those communication with people, and it's still about, and again, principles based. And I think that there's a lot of companies that come and go. There's a lot of companies that want to attach to a certain community, and really will adapt everything, all their principles based on what the market is. And one thing that's unique about Elite FTS is that the principles are there, the mission's there, and you know it doesn't waver. And it's going to be learning that you don't ever need to forget who you are and where you come from in order to still at the same time provide the best product you can. So that's the biggest thing that I think I've learned.
No doubt. You know, I think one of the things you hit on there was just the branding part of it. You know, when you work for such a strong brand like Elite FTS and something that Dave Tate, you know, has done such a great job of putting out great information but protecting what information goes out.
Yes, sir.
And hiring a guy like yourself and coming in and understanding that, it's not a whole lot different than protecting your brand as a strength coach, you know, and going out there and putting a good product on the weight room floor and really having principle-based training and being able to convey that in a educated and great way, I think is something that every strength coach needs to take away. Because it doesn't always mean, you know, we always talk about it as, you know, program could be the best program on paper, but unless you can get your athletes to buy into it, your coaches to buy into it, your administration to buy into it, you know, you're always going to be fighting an uphill battle, you know. And so that branding aspect is huge, you know. And you know, you touched on the marketing piece even as well. You know, you know, all of a sudden you're in the business world and you're having to use social media and you're having to use websites and things along those lines, and it's all unfamiliar to you. But you know, I challenge strength coaches more and more now to really understand that the more of those types of skills that you can develop and grow in as a strength coach, the better off you're going to be. Not just in the strength conditioning aspect, but you know, we talked about, I stood up in a national conference and spoke on the fact that how many strength coaches retire being strength coaches. You know, it's just not very many. You know, yeah. And so if you only have those skills, you know, then you're gonna have a hard time if you're forced out of the profession, which is what happens to a lot of us, unfortunately. You know, the hard part is, you know, guys like myself and you, you know, we think we can change it, so that's why we're doing what we do. You know, but you know, it's a fun aspect. But I can't say that enough. Is getting out and learning different things like outsourcing. You know, I didn't know what outsourcing was, but all of a sudden now, you know, I need a design for a manual that's going out, and I got 3 days because it, you know, I'm putting out fires all the way up to the third day. Yeah. You know, you know, all of a sudden now I outsourced it to freaking Bangladesh, and I get it in 12 hours as opposed to giving it up to our sports information director, and it takes 2 weeks.
Yes.
You know, so those are things that can get carried over quite a bit, and ultimately saves you time as a strength and conditioning coach, which is your most precious resource.
Oh, yeah. And I think that the other thing that's pretty parallel, too, is that, you know, there are certain professions that, you know, you're going to be held accountable. And you know, we have we're unique in our – our readers and our customers, you know, they at the same time we hold ourselves to a standard, but you know, they also hold, they understand the standard. And anytime you dip below that, whether it's a crappy article or whether it's a, you know, a product that's not to our standards, I mean, you know, that's the type of thing. And it's the same thing with strength and conditioning. You know, when you have when you're just writing on the internet and just explaining how, you know, your new really cool technique, you know, there's no really holding accountable. But all of a sudden now, when your name's attached to wins and losses and you have some people that you have to answer to, like in a collegiate setting, it's a little bit different, that's for sure.
No, I agree 100%. You know, when you were at Denison and you had 23 sports and you had all these other responsibilities, you know, obviously that's a daunting task. And, you know, I know for a fact, and we talked about it, you know, even several times about, you know, my internship program and, and things along those lines. You ended up running a fantastic internship program at Denison that, you know, helped you to cover those 23 sports.
Yes, sir.
For these coaches that are in these situations, whether it's one, maybe two, you know, maybe they got a GA and an assistant, that's it, or maybe they don't have any assistants. What are some of the first things you did to kind of develop this internship program? And then, you know, how were you able to motivate young coaches to come to a place like Denison that's a, what was it, Division II, Division III program, as opposed to going to one of these big schools, you know, that has the name and all those types of things?
Yeah, it was a process, and I've made a lot of mistakes, and I don't think that I have anything. I don't think our program was any better or worse than anyone else's, but I think I've made the mistakes and went through the process, and maybe I could save some time for a lot of people trying to get in. The biggest mistake I think that I made early was I wanted to get an internship program to cover sports so they can cover the weight room. And that was probably the most that was probably the biggest mistake that I made, because, and again, I think looking at it from a sport coach's perspective, which I was able to do because I did coach, you know, was assistant football coach at the time, put it in a sports coach perspective, I don't know if I'm, you know, I'm a basketball coach and I come on, I have an intern who's an undergrad at another school and says, here, so-and-so is going to be charging your program right now. If I'm a basketball coach, I'm going to be pissed. I don't want an undergrad training my athletes. So the biggest thing the first thing that had to happen was to make sure that we had a focal mission. And the mission was, number one, is to make sure that that internship and those interns were going to benefit the student athletes that we had. Were they going to make this, the experience of the student athletes, were they going to put them in a better situation to succeed, number one? Number two, really, it was it going to be at the end of that internship, whether it was 9 months, 6 months, whatever it was, were they going to be better equipped to be a full-time strength and conditioning coach, or to be better equipped to be a strength and conditioning intern at a larger school? And that was the second question. And third was the benefit. If they were good enough, if you went through the evaluation process and they were going to put our athletes in situations to succeed, then they were given the responsibility to cover. Now all of a sudden you can cover some waivers. I was fortunate to get a lot of young people that really had a passion for it. And that was the first characteristic. It didn't matter because, you know, Denison was a liberal arts school. It was most of our majors were pre-med. We didn't have exercise science. So we had a mixture of basically internal candidates and external candidates. And we're lucky in Columbus where you have so many schools in that radius, in that half hour, 45-minute radius, that we can draw from different schools at different levels. We were almost a feeder program, really, for Ohio State, where when Tom Plumble was running that program, if he had an intern that maybe didn't make their cut, he would send it. We're almost like a farm league, you know? Send it to us. We're able to give them a little more hands-on experience because, again, we were in a different situation, and then they were able to make, you know, to do an internship at a larger school. But the biggest thing was, once you understood the mission of that, then you have to have some requirements where you have to go through an interview process. You have to make sure that you treat it as a full-time job. And one thing I think interns have to understand is that if you're doing an internship, first of all, the larger the school, they don't need you. It's not like, hey, I'll intern for you. I'll help you out. Well, you're not helping me out. You're putting more work on my table.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If the more interns I got, the more work it is for me. So you're not doing anybody a favor by volunteering. So the first thing you have to do is make sure they understand that. And if you're going to do an internship, anytime we had an intern start, you kind of have them. You have them for that time period, because what are you going to do? If you're an intern and at the end of, say, 2 weeks, you say, you know what, this isn't for me, and you're just going to go ahead and quit. Now, whether you've been 2 weeks, 2 months, 5 months, however long you've done an internship, now you can't even use that as a reference. You can't really put it on your resume.
Right.
So all of a sudden, once you start an internship, you better go through it. And again, it might be in a situation where you're just, and I know with Division I rules, with, you know, with the, especially with football, with the coaching limitations, you know, you might be interning, you're not even allowed to coach, let alone be in a situation where you're going to really, develop some relationship with those athletes, and that's really what it's about.
Right.
The other thing is just making sure you have a curriculum, making sure they have at the end of your, you know, we had basically our KIC evaluations where we evaluate those interns. We'd rank them. We put them at levels because I think, you know, if anything, and I think, you know, I learned a lot from J.L. Holdsworth because he has an internship and he won't hire, he's in the private sector, but he won't hire anyone as a full-time coach or until they intern for him and work for free. And, you know, it's one of those things, but, you know, I can't really, if you know, to have an intern come in without taking the opportunity to teach them, you know, I'm not going to pay anybody I got to teach. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the whole thing. I'm not going to waste my money and basically pay someone that I got to teach how to do their job. So we went through that those level system where everyone had a level based on, you know, their ability and based on their, you know. And again, real quickly, like level one was basically I can teach it for exercise technique purposes. You know, I can teach a certain lift. I can teach someone how to squat and I can demonstrate. That's level one. Well, that doesn't mean you're a coach. Right. Anybody can do that. Level two was I can actually identify a technique discrepancy. I can look at a clean and say that doesn't look right. Now, I might not know how to fix it at first, but I at least can identify that. And then level three was, okay, not only do I understand and there's an exercise technique discrepancy, now I can formulate a strategy to correct that, whether it's an acute, you know, manipulation of technique or with some coaching cues, or it's a strategy to kind of address some weak points and flexibility and mobility to the point where they can go and you know, continue and do that technique a little better. Sure. So you have those level things. I mean, level three, if you're not level three, you're not a hireable intern. You know, and that's the one thing I think, to have that curriculum so they understand expectation and know what to go through, that was really the most important thing. Once I understood that, it got a little bit smoother, you know, as the transition went. But at first, it was pretty rocky, you know, for sure.
No doubt. Well, you know, I think the thing that, you know, you touched on briefly, but, you know, you invested in people. You know, and I think when anytime you do that as a strength conditioning coach, and when you invest back into your people, be it, you know, education, be it, you know, just kind of wisdom and guidance or helping them down the road with recommendations and things along those lines, that's the true benefit. And if you do that and you're pure and you're genuine about it, then typically they'll start self-promoting for your program, you know, and I think that's huge for anybody that's starting an internship program, is to really invest in those people because they're your best billboard, you know, when you're trying to grow it.
And to make sure they understand that you don't get into profession, if you're getting into a profession because you just like lifting weights, I mean, you can pick a lot of different things to do. You know, get into the profession because you want to mentor, you want to be a part of young people's lives, not because you want to wear, you know, Division I school on your shirt or you want to work on a weight room because it'd be cool. And I think when people get past that, and I think it's getting a little better, I think it's that's job one. That's the first step. If they can do that, it's pretty cool because there's still a lot of coaches. They get an undergrad in exercise science, and they figure they're ready to be a full time coach. And you and I both know that is not the process. Right. As soon as they understand that, I think it ends up being a better situation for them.
Well, that goes back to that presentation that I just gave at the NSCA. Mm-hmm. I'm giving again at the national convention. But it's you know, there's three aspects to be a successful strength coach. You know, one is the technician. That's the guy that likes to lift weights that can teach the exercise, you know, and that, unfortunately, that's where most of strength coaches are, is that they don't see the big picture and they're focused purely on the lifting of the weights. But, you know, like we talked about, if you can't get the athletes to do it, doesn't mean anything, you know. So then it kind of comes in the management part. You got to be a great manager. You know, you got to be managing your time, you got to manage your resources, you got to manage people, you know, and that's the growth. And then, you know, can't just be a great manager, but you also have to kind of be an entrepreneur. You have to be, you know, cutting edge and being able to sell yourself and stay current, you know. And so to be successful, you have to be a great technician, a great manager, and a great entrepreneur, and not any one of those can kind of dominate the other.
Yes, sir. You know,
you have to be a balance.
Definitely have to be well-rounded. I think the second two you talk about, the management and and being able to sell your sell yourself and sell your program, sell what you're going to do. Because again, you have a lot of, you know, you're really an assistant coach for every sport you're working with. And again, right, to be able to manage, you know, everybody has their optimal program they want to do. And all of a sudden, you know, you get a whole team in there and they're 15 minutes late and they're, you know, you don't have enough racks for them. And, you know, there's all those situations that you have, you know, that trial by fire. And that's really what's going to separate and make the good coaches great, for sure.
No doubt, man. Well, You know, we always kind of end these things with some resources, some recommendations. So, you know, I'm eager to hear what you have. But let's start us off with kind of a motivational quote. Give me a quote that you guys kind of need to live by, maybe plastered in your weight room there, something along those lines that you use with your athletes.
Well, I think one of the biggest quotes, you know, there's a couple that I think I try to live by. The one was from Brian Kane, is compared to what? And I think it's from a presentation he did at the CSCCA a few years back. But really, you know, when you're looking at, you know, okay, I've had a bad day today. I'm so busy. My job sucks. This sucks. And again, when you ask that question, compared to what? Well, I'm really busy. Well, compared to the single mom with two jobs, you know, I had a terrible day today. Well, compared to what? Compared to our troops that are defending our freedom in Iraq, your day really that bad? So that compared to what thing is really huge. The passion trumps everything. You know, that's one that Dave had said, and we live by that, because again, if you have that, everything else takes care of itself, no matter what kind of weaknesses you have. There's a couple too. It's not really long quotes, but you know, process over outcome is a big thing. Function over feelings. Those are two more Brian Kane stuff. And again, you know, we talk about people's feelings. People want to be on social media talking about their feelings all the time. And I really don't care about people's feelings. It's about function. You know, no one cares about how you feel about this workout. They care about, you know, that you do the workout and what your performance is. And really, the last one is really, you know, changing have to get to. And, you know, really, you know, I have to, you know, come to work, or I have to go to this 6 a.m. workout, or I have to, you know, do all these workout sheets, whatever. It's I get to go to work. I get to, you know, train athletes at 6 a.m., you know, because there's a lot of other people that would do anything to have my job, or anything to have your job, coach. So, again, that change and have to get to, those are some of the quotes I try to live by.
No,
for
that's
sure.
Great. I like both of those. What about, give us a book, a website, and an app recommendation?
Well, I mean, I hope that EliteFTS.com is on some people's radars. We really, you know, obviously, we're doing our best. But, you know, as far as apps, from a coaching perspective, I always liked any of the video apps. And I think, you know, any of them between Darfish, between Coach's Eye, between Ubersense, I think they all have good things that they have going for them. You know, all three of those, I think, from a coaching perspective, especially nowadays when you have athletes that aren't with you all the time, and to use some of those apps where you can go ahead and voice over and communicate on exercise techniques if they're under some break or whatever, I think those three are really excellent. You know, those are the three probably that I would use the most. You know, as far as you know, like I said, I think, you know, part of our job is social media. So, I mean, that's one thing. But again, I think I would have to say our site. I think there's some others. For me, I probably, instead of other sites really that I go to, because I really don't go to too many, I like the podcast. I think your podcast is excellent. We're trying to do a good job with ours. I definitely like, you know, Mike Bull, strength coach, you know, the Anthony Renner does. I think all of those, especially for people that, you know, I got an hour commute, and I know that, you know, you're traveling a lot. You know, when you're able to put those on iTunes, I think, you know, those are really productive. So I definitely like those. As far as books, you know, I'm getting into Lynchpin by Seth Godin. I got recommended that by the Angry Coach, who writes on our site. That's a big one. Joe Hermans with Transformational Coaching, his book that he had. He spoke at our national conference. Excellent book right now. You know, really the main thing is transformational versus transactional coaching. And then the third one is Coach Connor's strength coach, you know, his book that, you know, of course, and it's nice to be in a situation where you're looking through, and I'm able to research a little bit for an article here or there, but, you know, those are the ones right now that I'm working on. And again, I'm not a very good, you know, I'm a skimmer and I kind of, you know, pick and choose, but, you know, those are the ones I think right now. And anything from Lencioni, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you can reread all his stuff, so.
Well, good, man. Well, I truly appreciate you coming on the show and sharing
with us.
It's an
honor, Coach.
Man. Thanks so much, man.
Okay, guys, a couple quick things before we let you go. Don't forget to check out eliteform.com or ignitionapg.com. And let them know how much we appreciate them bringing this show to us for free. It was awesome to have Mark Watts on the show today. Please join me in the comments section at ronmckeefer.com thanking Mark for coming on the show and sharing his information with us. All the show notes for this episode, as well as the others, with links that were mentioned are on the site as well. While you're there, join the mailing list so that you get updates on new shows and anything else I have going on. If you haven't checked out strength-ondemand.com yet, make sure to do so. It's a fantastic resource and I know you'll love it. Lastly, please subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube, as well as leave a positive rating and review so that I can continue to bring this show to as many strength coaches as possible. Truly appreciate Nathan Leonard for the latest review, as well as JK478 and Juan and some of the others here, SciTech. This just helps me continue to bring this show to as many coaches as possible. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Take care.